How's everybody doing tonight? Thank you. So glad one of you is doing awesome. I'm really glad to be with you guys tonight. It's been a while since I've been over in the student ministry. I don't know what I said last time that was so offensive that they kept me out of here, but glad to be back with you guys. If you want to take your Bibles, if you have them on your phones or in your hands, we're going to be in two places tonight, Philippians chapter 2 and then Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start off in Philippians 2 if you want to go ahead and turn there. Stephen and Jeff asked me to consider tonight an pretty incredible topic. They're beginning a series over the next 3 weeks in which we are studying the essential core truths of three very important topics for you to know as a believer. And the first one tonight deals with the essential truths regarding Jesus Christ. Next week, you'll talk about the essential truths of Scripture, and thirdly, the essential truths of the believer. But tonight, we're talking about the essential truth of Jesus Christ. When I began thinking about what was possibly the most important thing that I could tell you guys about Christ, one phrase came to mind, and it's simply this: Jesus Christ has pursued you. The most important thing that I feel like I can tell you about the person and work of Jesus Christ is that Jesus pursued you. In fact, the Bible is a story of God pursuing a people and calling that people back to himself to pursue him. Now, there are different types of pursuits. There's pursuits that you don't want, you know, if you have a stalker, or perhaps if you're running through a jungle and some sort of beastly animal is pursuing you, coming after you to devour you because you've threatened their household. Those kinds of pursuits are bad pursuits. But at the same time, if that animal is pursuing you and there's a person who can save you from that animal who's pursuing you as the animal is pursuing you as well, you want that second pursuit, right? Because that person can come and save you from the other thing that is pursuing you. And so it is with Christ. You were pursued by sinfulness. You fell victim to sinfulness. And yet, in spite of your sinfulness, Jesus Christ pursued you to rescue you from the effects of your sinfulness. And what I want to do tonight, and looking at these two passages of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2 and then Ephesians 1, is to talk with you about how Jesus Christ has pursued you and what that says about him. And then also discuss from Ephesians 1 the benefits of Christ pursuing you. All right? So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. And we're going to look tonight at the answer to the question, how is it that Christ has pursued me? Now, you heard the beginning of this chapter earlier in which Paul writes the consequences to what we are about to read, because there are expectations placed upon you as a result of how Christ has pursued you. But just consider a moment, beginning in verse 5, how Jesus has pursued you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And this mind is what we heard about earlier. Then encouragement within you, any love, affection, sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind, doing nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. All of those things, Paul is saying, have this mind, that kind of mindset among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Now notice that for a second. The man who was equal with God, the God-man, who had everything, the riches of heaven, and think about just what you know of heaven at this moment, the glory of heaven, the beauty of heaven. Christ truly had everything, and everything that is because of Jesus, and yet this same powerful, omnipotent, incredible God who had at the tip of his fingers the entirety of creation made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of all kings, took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men who were born in the likeness of him. How incredible is that? And being found in human form, he humbled himself. himself. The only being in the entirety of existence that has the right to be prideful and proud. The only one who has anything to be prideful or proud about. This being humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. The author of life giving up his life, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you see in this passage how Jesus Christ has pursued you? It's overwhelming. It's incredible to think that Jesus left heaven and earth, that he was born of a virgin into sinlessness, that he lived a holy and perfect, sinless life for you and I, perfectly exemplifying for us what it means to have the Holy Spirit of God living within you and abiding and living by the movement of the Holy Spirit upon our life. He sacrificed himself in obedience, giving his life so that you and I could find life and life abundant. And not just any sacrifice, but a terrible death, the worst kind of death known to man, death on a cross. He gave all to pursue you. And just rest in that for a moment. The author of heaven and earth, of every living thing, left all of that to pursue you. And even if only one of us in this room gave our life to him in response, he would have done it. That's how great his love is for you. Pretty incredible. It's hard for us to fathom the extent at which Christ sacrificed to pursue you. So I like to use this story, and some of you probably have heard me tell it before, so just get over it. But if not, it's going to be really funny, so get ready for it, all right? A couple of years ago, I was working the Christmas production that we have here every year, you know, with all the elephants and that kind of stuff. It's like the entry for Aladdin, you know, he's got the monkeys, he's got that kind of thing, you know what I'm talking about? It's a pretty big ordeal, right? And so I was working it one night when we had the Spanish people here, right? We love our Spanish friends. And that particular night, we were overwhelmed by how many people showed up at the Spanish Christmas spectacular, to the point where we had to turn people away. There were so many people coming through our door for the Spanish-speaking service that night, and it was incredible. And as most of you know, that year we began offering some snow activities, which ultimately turned into ice activities because they don't really stay as snow because typically it's hot, and we put snow on top of it, and that becomes ice. Anyway, so a lot of the Spanish families decided after the Christmas production to come down to experience the snow. And on the way, because the show was a little long, they decided to stop and go to the bathroom. A lot of them all at the same time, to the point where all the flushing backed up the sewage system. And so we're out there, you know, getting ready to welcome people into the snow area. And right between the two snow areas, one going down on the softball field and one over here on the volleyball court, there's a manhole. Right smack dab in the middle, all right? And my two friends, Chris and Katia Dupont, who teach in the Hispanic college group, were out there getting ready to welcome people. And all of a sudden, we start noticing these bubbles coming out of the manhole. And then water just pouring over the side. And of course, we didn't know at the time that everything was being backed up in the sewage system. But all of a sudden, this water comes out and you kind of know what it is. Well, the little kids don't know what it is. The little kids running through there think, oh, it's just melted ice. So let's go play in it. And all the time, they don't know it's sewage water. Okay? Nasty. Well, it doesn't end there, because in this piping system, apparently a community of cockroaches decided to build their life. And so as the sewage water begins to come up, literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, hundreds of cockroaches, hundreds, begin to pour out in the middle of the sewage water. And so my friends, Chris and Katia, and I kind of form a triangle around said manhole, and I begin to try to kill the cockroaches as they're coming out and protect the people from them, saying, you know, cuidado, which is careful in Spanish, los cucarachas in the area, I'm stepping on them, all right? So I'm literally pounding out cockroach guts in the middle of nasty sewage water. Needless to say, those shoes are no longer with us, all right? Now, I tell you that story because, to me, that is the most vivid image of the disparity between what Jesus Christ left and what he came to pursue you. He left the glory of heaven to step into cockroach gut-infested sewage water to come after you. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you are worthless. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you are not loved. You are loved supremely, and you are worth the Lord of heaven and earth to step down into that to come after you. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? Jesus pursued you. The question for us is, how do we respond to that pursuit? Do we respond by giving our lives to him? Or do we continue to reject this God of heaven and earth who's given so much for us? Well, let me tell you what happens when you respond to Christ and give your life to him. Let's look at some of the benefits of Christ pursuing you, what him and your life brings to you in Ephesians chapter 1, if you want to turn over there with me. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Now, I want you to notice as we read through here, all of the in Christs, or through Christs, or because of Christ, okay? Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Listen to this again. Because Jesus pursued you, because you have access to him, in him you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In him you are adopted as sons and daughters of the King of Kings. In him you have redemption and forgiveness of your sins. The very thing that separated you from God is now removed because of the sacrifice of Jesus, so that you can have fellowship with God and joy. In him, you have access to the riches of God's grace. And I love that phrase there, because God's riches are infinitely so. His grace is infinitely rich, meaning you could never wear it out. And don't we all need a lot of God's grace? Because of Jesus Christ, in him, we are reunited with God, allowing us to live as we were created to live, to worship and glorify him and experience the joy that comes with being fully satisfied in his presence. In him, we have an inheritance that Peter writes in 1 Peter is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. An eternal inheritance, which you will get to enjoy for eternity in Christ. We have hope in Jesus. A living hope, Peter also says, that in the midst of uncertainty and darkness and sinfulness, there is something greater going on, and Christ has secured victory over those things and what he accomplished upon the cross. And finally, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, which seals these truths in our lives, making it impossible, once we have given our lives to Christ, to be removed from him again. Pretty impressive stuff. All secured because Jesus Christ came after you. He pursued you. He left the glory of heaven to come after you. Fulfilled the law that you and I could not fulfill. Lived a perfect, sinless life. And then shed his innocent blood upon a cross on our behalf. Satisfying the wrath of God, which demanded a penalty for the sinfulness of man. I notice here the unique ability of Christ to do this. Christ is the only one who could have accomplished this. Why? Because on one hand, he was a man. He was like you and me, so he can be a representative for us. He's not a sheep or a goat or a cow. He's us. The other thing is that he's God. And because of the eternality of who he is, he can take upon the fullness of God's wrath for every single person that comes underneath his provision. He can withstand that because he is God. For every single person from the beginning of time to the end, only God can do that. And only God, man, can do that for man. That's the truth of Jesus. That he pursued you. And then having pursued you and sacrificed himself, he doesn't hold that against you, but gives you these enormous blessings that we see in Ephesians chapter 1. So here's what I want you to do. At your groups, I want you to turn in, hang out with your group leaders for a little bit, and discuss the questions that are at your table for about 15 minutes. And then once you finish that, group leaders, you guys can pray. And as soon as you have finished praying, you are able to be dismissed. But do so quietly, as there will be people still meeting. Enjoy.